Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, October 17th of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is great to be with you wherever you're tuning in from, however you're tuning into the broadcast. It's just great that you would tune in like this, like you do, like how you do. It's a great thing that you folks tune in like this. Really is. I thank God for you. I really do. And it's great to be with you tonight. It's always great to be with you every time I do this, you know, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, coming to you like this. It really is great that you tune in. And some of you might wonder, you know, Miracle Man, how did you ever get interested in doing any kind of radio at all, whether it be in person or digital? So, you know, some of you might wonder, how did you ever get interested in it? How in the world? Well, you know, as someone who's been believing to see, you know, for a long time, you know, they say an interesting thing. They say that radio is theater of the mind. Theater of the mind. You know, and the ear, you could also say, I would say theater of the ear as well, because when you watch a movie, you know, you're not just generally, for most people, you're not just looking, you're not just listening to the movie, though you are, most are, you're looking at that screen. You are looking at what is on that screen. You know something on a radio, though? Other than like on these car radios that'll show you what song's playing, a radio doesn't come with a screen to show you, you know, there might be a little dial thing that might show you what channel, what station you're listening to or something like that. And every so often, you know, they'll tell you, you know, you're listening to such and such station, greatest hits of today, or, you know, something like that. But So that's about what it is, what radio is. But how did you ever get into it? How did you ever get interested in doing anything to do with radio at all? When I was younger, I always thought it was kind of cool, you know, for a few years, you know, I started listening to guys talk on the radio, you know, I started to, you know, a certain station around here, you know, I thought, and also, you know, one, you know, from an AM station from down in the Detroit area, and then I got into sports, and then a few years later, in 08, I was listening to a Lions game, and back then, that was the Lions team that actually went 0-16. Yes, nowadays, thankfully, we're not the Lions team that does that anymore. I mean, there was all kinds of negative talk. There was things of, how do we rebuild this team? Do we bother rebuilding this team? Do you ever remember hearing that, the talk, Jamie, of, do we even bother rebuilding this team?
No, I haven't.
I had, Maybe not necessarily that, but I'm sure at one point that was going on.
Right.
Well, or maybe do we pack up our bags and leave Detroit? You know, things like that. Like, but, you know, luckily they are doing so much better right now this year compared to what they had been doing in 2008. But back to the actual story of how I got it, of how I got interested. And then one time I was listening to a game, Lions, Houston. I mean, the Lions in Houston taking on the Texans in Houston, and I remember hearing it and going, you know, I could do something like that. I would love to do something like that. And ever since then, I had always thought, you know, it would either be so cool to either, you know, for a little bit there, I would have thought it would have been so cool to be the radio guy doing the play-by-play of the games. Thing with that is, unless the site actually comes manifest, how are you going to know what's going on right to a T just by the sound of the ball? The ball. I mean, the football doesn't make a certain noise when it's caught or when it falls to the ground. Now, for some players who like to throw lots of interceptions, I wish it did. Like maybe an alarm would go off when they throw another interception. That might be good for some of them, at least. You know, and something like that. But honestly, you know, you kind of know my crowd feedback and stuff, and you hear the stadium announcer, things like that. But I thought, you know, then I thought about being a stadium announcer, and I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. Or, you know, a radio talk show host, like what I do right now, talking to all y'all. And I had always thought sports was so, you know, to be like a sportscaster would be really cool, especially, you know, football. I'm a football guy. Do you mind getting me a cold water?
Sure.
But I mean, football is, you know, my favorite sport, to be honest with you. Really is. But honestly, you know, is there a different cold one?
You want a cold one?
Yeah.
Just put that one on the counter.
But anyhow, I like these stadium announcers that are loud and into it, as opposed to the ones that are really quiet and are so, and are like extremely monotone, like. Let me give you an example. This is of a game I was actually at years back. Like, just over 10 years ago. So at this point, Midland High, that particular season, ended up being ranked number one in the state based on regular season. And so they were in the second round of the playoffs at home. We have a guy, and one of our guys gets a 95-yard touchdown. But the guy on the press box, the stadium announcer, the whole Midland High side of the stadium is going crazy. But the guy's like, Midland High touchdown is scored on a 95-yard run by short, or whatever. You know, that monotone, that's weak, isn't it? That's pretty weak. Like, you're not excited about that. You're just going to say it, and you're not even excited. I'm so glad I couldn't hear him super well because we had weak speakers at the time. Otherwise, I would have thought, what are you doing up there? You're not excited. You know? I would have thought that at least. Like, maybe you shouldn't be the stadium announcer. At that point, you sound like the guy who's about to fall asleep in the stadium, don't you think?
Uh-huh.
Right? Like you won't even, it's almost like, you know? But Millen will get a touchdown, you know, like, I'll be like, touchdown coming. Like, I borrow that from that stadium announcer that I thought was really cool from Houston, Texas. Because how it was in the background. You could hear the stadium announcer in the Houston stadium that was yelling, touchdown Texans, or whatever. Yeah, and I thought it was so cool. So I kind of borrowed that for, like, the Millen High games when I'm there. And some of you might say, well, Miracle Man, do the Chargers get one from you for that? No. It's just that touchdown and scored on, you know, because I went to Midland. I didn't go to Dow. That's why they didn't get the same, from me. You got to be somewhat biased. I wouldn't say biased, but, you know, for a certain team. And I've heard of things like these ideas where they say that the stadium announcer shouldn't be all hyped when they announce a certain team or whatever because it shows bias. Who are these people who are doing that, though? Who are they? And why are they doing that? Those are the boring announcers. Don't you think? Those are the boring ones. The ones that show no oomph, no energy. Like that old Midland guy, one that we had for, like, 5-6 years. I was almost glad when he wasn't doing it anymore. I was. Because I'm like, yay, now we'll have someone who's actually excited. Actually, someone who wants to be up there calling these games, you know, because even though he might have wanted to be and what have you or whatever, he didn't sound like it. And, I'm the story. And then doors open, and Preacher Man's helped me, and we launched this program back in 2017, and, you know, God's been on my side, and it's just been great to see God move on my behalf. It really has been just a great thing to see, and I love my Lord Jesus. I do. I'm thankful for what he's done in my life, for what he started. For what he's doing right now, for what he's going to do. And I know his plans for me are for good. His plans are not to harm us, but they are for our good. Yes, they are. And I don't have to sit there and wonder and wish or anything like that, because I know his plans are for my good. And I can rest assured of that, knowing that.
Try again. 6:44 p.m. Press all to unlock. Button.
And it's just
6:44 p.m.
It's been great. That's the story of how I got, into being a broadcaster, how I got interested in it. Because sometimes it's just great, you know, to tell my story, you know, parts, different parts of my story and how. God's always been there. And I know there have been athletes over the years and stuff where they give credit to God and stuff, you know, for what they've been able to do. Now, when I say that, I mean it. Because I really do. I'm sure there's some that meant it. Totally. I remember Kurt Warner, former NFL quarterback, once he thanking God after a big playoff road win in the NFL, like back in like 2008. I thought that was pretty cool. When that happened. But, you know, when you have great things happen for you, you should always give credit to God. For those of us, you know, who are saved, born again, what have you. You know, above all, give credit to God. Give hope. And as long as you love him, for those of you who are athletes, you know, he wants to help you play better. He does. And he will. But I had heard of one pro golfer from a few years ago, at least, I think this was. And I don't know why it happened, but I know that it happened. Maybe he had just totally ran away from God or something. The Lord actually took away the guy's ability to play golf. Isn't that wild? He took away the guy's ability to play golf. I mean, I don't know how true that is at all. But, you know. I know some guy had put it out there. There was a YouTube video up of it. I don't know if it's still up there. I didn't watch it in a couple of years. I didn't even watch the whole thing. But I just thought that was pretty incredible. I don't mean that like in a good way or a bad way. But it's just pretty incredible to me, honestly. Now, folks, I want to remind you of a couple of things that I always remind you of. Number one. I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been, how God has always been on my side. And you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. And, you know, you get the story of my testimony as well as my mother's testimony. And it's just a great thing that you are able, that you can be able to. Go, you know, to go on that website and look at that book and buy that book. Because I really want you to give that book a look. least give it a look. And let it be a blessing to you. Please. The other thing I want to remind you about is the PayPal. If this has been a blessing into your life, this program has been, the Miracle Man Show has been a blessing into your life. I pray it has been. And you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. When you get on the website, in the search bar, you can type in, when you get on the website, paypal.com, in the search, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you can type in Rivers Shukla, Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, the last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, please, if you would, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I want you to keep in mind related to that is the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So please, if you would, just kindly make a note of that. I greatly appreciate that. That way, you know, the money can go to the right place. And that's what I want. It's for the money to go to the right place where you want it to go. Amen. That's what I want, too. It really is. You can go online to that website and sow your seed. The verse I want to sow into your life is, therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He wants to meet all your needs, regardless of what they are. He wants to meet you where you are. He wants to meet all your needs. He's the God of more than enough. More than enough. And I'm glad to know that. That he's the God of more than enough. Not the God of just enough. Not the God of almost enough. But more than enough. And I'm grateful for that. And I do want to, you know, to give shout out to Laura from here in Central Michigan, as well as to Natalia from Honduras for your support for the program. But I thank God for you both and for your seeds and for others who have some concerns. So I thank God for your seed, and I pray over your seed when it gets sown. It's something that I thank God for. Every time I get notified that seed has been sown, I thank God for it. Amen and amen. And now I want to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise by the name of Jesus.
What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one. You are the love that leads us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Oh. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
what can separate me now?
And when the earth fades, all from my eyes, and when I lose you, I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil, you made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil, you made a way. When you said that it is done, at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? Yeah. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil, you made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil, you made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil, you made a way. When you said that it is done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory, yes. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. Yes, Lord, I exalt thee, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are to us, for who you are to us. Thank you that your hand is on us. It's great to serve you. It's great to know that you're in our life. It's great to know what to do.
in these last days. It's great to know that you are here with us right now, helping us as we go through these days. Thank you, Jesus, that you are meeting every one of our needs. You are healing our minds. You are healing our bodies. You're restoring things to us, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing for us, Master, for what you're doing in us, even as I speak right now, even as I pray right now. I thank you for what you are doing for us as people right now, in your name, Jesus, in your name, Jesus. Thank you for what you are doing right now for us, Jesus. Thank you for that, Jesus, for what you're doing in each one of us, that you are helping us right now. Thank you for our time in your word tonight. Thank you for that these listeners will have ears ready to hear tonight. Thank you that you've anointed me to bring the word to these people, and that they would receive it, and that they will do your word. They will be those that do your word, and not just those who hear it but have nothing to show for it, but they would be those who do your word in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you meet every need represented tonight. Every need that, you know, that you, that these people, whatever, if they need healing, healing would come. If they need help with relationship, you would heal the relationships. It, Lord God, thank you that you heal financial situations. Lord God, thank you, you know, that you just minister to these people wherever they are, whatever it is that they need, that you just meet all their needs for them right now, because you know what they have need of, even when I don't. Thank you that you are the miracle working God. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, please. I want to go to Acts chapter 22. Hallelujah. Acts 22. The next couple times that I do a show, I'm going to talk about different heroes of the church. Different heroes of the church. Eventually, we're going to talk about Stephen. You know, not maybe a tad bit tonight, but that'll be a separate thing. But tonight, the hero I want to talk about is Saul, who became Paul. And what made him such a hero to begin with? And how on earth, you know, what made him such a hero? So I'm going to go to Acts 22, and we'll read it, and we'll look at it together. Thank God for the Word of God. What would we do without it? Brothers and fathers, now listen to my defense. When they heard him speak to them, Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew. I don't know why Kaylee would be trying to call me right now. I'm doing my show.
I don't know, I'll message her.
You message her, please?
Yeah.
You would? Sorry about that, listener. It was just, you know, I know, you know, someone who is, you know, for whatever reason trying to text me. But I'll deal with that later. Back to the word. Acts 22, verse 2. And when they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia. So you see, that's where you get Saul of Tarsus. First he was Saul. Then he became Paul. So I was born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way, capital way. So before they were known as Christians at Antioch, they were known as followers of this way. They were known as followers of the way. The way. That's where you get, you know, followers get, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But they persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them, from other brothers in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. What? Yep. He was punishing them for being Christians. Quote, about noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? In verse 8, he says, who are you, Lord? I asked, with a big L. So obviously he knew it was the Lord somehow. But who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand to Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see it. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one by his words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat these who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen or Stephen, depending on how you read it, shed, I stood there giving my approval and gouging the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go. I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Verse 22. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rend the earth of him. He's not fit to live. They wanted him gone. They wanted him dead as they were shouting, throwing off their clothes, their cloaks, and flinging things into the air. The commander ordered Paul to be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged. And questioned in order to find out why the people were shouting at him. But this, as they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported. What are you going to do? He asked. This man is a Roman citizen. The commander went to Paul and asked, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I am, he answered. And the commander said, I had to pay a big price for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen. Paul replied, those who were about to question him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The next day, since the commander wanted exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. But you see, Paul, from being, so first we read about him being, one of those who was going about, he was going after those who were Christians. He was going after those who were Christians, wishing death upon them, literally saying, you know, I have death wish, you know, Ned, I want you to die, you know, literally, he was literally standing there when Stephen died, was martyred. He was standing there. He was approving. He was approving him. You know. But you know what? As terrible of a guy as he was being, as he had been being, God later forgave him because that light came. That light was so bright that he literally had to be helped for a couple days. Then he got ministered to. And the man says, Paul, you know, the Saul. He said, receive your sight. He said, brother, receive your sight. And then he was healed of that blindness that had come from that light. And then he goes with the eunuch to be baptized. We did not read that tonight, but he goes with the eunuch to be baptized. Paul does. And then Paul begins to go about, you know, preaching. And God shows him, you know, what he is to do and how he's to do it and what have you. And it was just great to see. You know? And he's not just a hero just because he went from being a persecutor to later going after the persecutors. By going after, I don't mean he killed them or anything. He didn't. But I mean, like, to preaching against persecuting people. You know? And he ended up saying, I used to be one. I used to be one that persecuted. I was one of you. He literally says, in what we read tonight, he literally says, I have just as much love for God as some of you do right now. Referring to them like that they didn't. He knew that they didn't love him. He knew. But Paul kept talking, sharing his testimony. Now, we didn't, like I said, we didn't read about the eunuch and testify, and there were other times that he went and spoke to people. And it wasn't his first time in the barracks either. You know, eventually, Paul and Silas were thrown in prison for what they had done. But you know what they did at midnight? Let me tell you what they didn't do. Throw stuff. Sit on the floor and cry. Sit on the floor and say, well, God, if you're real, get me out of here. I didn't sit there and cry like little babies or get in a fight with other people in the prison. No. They praised God. They sang to God. And other prisoners listened. The other people who were in jail, they were listening. They weren't getting in fights with cellmates. No, I haven't been in jail at all, but, you know, I just know, you know, there can be fights. you know, so what they end up, you know, they're just worshiping, praising God, you know, suddenly those doors open. The doors open. The jailer ended up taking Paul and Silas to his house. And then later calls for them to be released. But, you know, through that whole experience of him, you know, from that light and everything else, and he was totally transformed. And he wasn't afraid to talk about his transformation. And and I just think and I go, you know, the fact that God would save someone like that, someone who had previously been approving of people like Stephen being martyred, who had in fact been approving of it previously. And God saved them. God saved their soul. Because he had previously been totally ungodly, totally anti-God, you know, totally. But God freed him. He got free. And he not only got free, he went out there and started preaching the word of God to people. He didn't let those who were against God, he didn't let them keep him from saying. He did not let them keep him from speaking. He took a stand. He took a stand for what was right. This is why he is a hero of the church. He took a stand for God. He took a stand for godliness. Firm stand. And he said, I was in prison. I have previously been in prison. You're not shutting me up. You're not stopping the word of God. I bring the word. I love my Jesus. And I'm sure you tell him, you know, you do what you want. I mean, I'm sure he's like, well, I'd rather you not do what you want. I'd rather get right with God. But he's like, I can't force you. But he ends up having his life totally transformed by God. And tells his story. That is why Paul, to me, Paul is a hero. One of the greatest heroes of the church.
7:35 p.m. 7:20 minutes ago, +1.
And I thank God for him. I thank God for how he took a stand. And for how, you know, when that light happened, when that light came, you know, he asked who it was, you know, have you? He didn't say, Well, I'm busy. Well, I don't know if I have time for this. I got stuff to do. Would like just you just had that encounter right there when that happened, when the light hit. He won't always hit you with a light like that. You might not have your eyes blinded like that instantly just because of that. But that's what happened with Paul. Everybody, when they come to Christ, everybody has a different experience, a different story. Now, I was just very little. In Erlanger Hospital, Erlanger Children's Hospital, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Give my life to him right there. I was there because I had just had a surgery. But, well, the Lord was there. Yeah. He's always been there for me. Always. It's been great to just watch him move on my behalf. So, Paul, thank you for being such a hero to the church, to the body of Christ. Thank you, Paul. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would minister. That you would meet every need represented this program. Thank you that these listeners would be those who do your word and not just be those who hear it but don't do it. And I thank you that you're helping us. In your matchless name, amen and amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did Kaylee want?
Oh, she was just outside. She had to go pick up a prescription for Zyla, and she had to wait for her to pick it up.